Yo, you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Bruh, Migos Podcast. And today, we play a little mix and match for y'all. We not gonna bore y'all with the same MLB. We gonna mix a little MLB, little NFL. We gonna talk about free agency trades that we like. Well, free agency moves that we like. Right after we talk about the MLB team today. And that's gonna be a lot of our show because, hey, they had a lot of moves going on. So, you know, we're going to keep it short and sweet like that. And Rob, what we got to do?
We're going to hit that music, my diggy dog.
4, 3, 2, 1, go.
What up, though?
So, let's start. Of course, we've been going through the weeks. We've been doing our MLB previews. Today, we're going to do NL West and NL Central.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start today with the Diamondbacks.
That's snake.
Yeah, man, Diamondbacks, man, I think they've got a good team. Like, I think that they're going to be poised. First of all, I got to preface this. The NL West is going to be must watch. I know we East Coasters and the Central Time Zoners may not be up for those games, but dog, they're going to be the creme de la creme. They got teams out the yin yang. And the first one we're talking about is the Diamondbacks. They got talent up and down. Corbin Carroll is a player that I love to watch. Dude that basically just fast as fuck. Like I've been saying it for years on this show, how fast he is. Didn't have great last year, or he was up and down last year. It was basically, yeah. But that team is going to be poised to make money and to make firepower going, you know, Kettle Marte, like, you know, Zach Gallen. A lot of these players that are good for this team are going to be great to watch. They also got Corbin Carroll in the offseason as well. Like, this is going to be a team to basically watch for everybody. I don't know if they're going to make the World Series like they did a few years ago, but this is going to be something for everybody to see. Maybe they can make a run and, you know, we'll see if they end up in a playoff preview or prediction for Broad Migos later on in the show. But what do you think about it? Oh, no. Let me actually get to my free agent signing that I like. Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp going to the Seattle Seahawks for 3 years, $45 million. He gets to basically play in his home state. He gets to play against the Rams twice a year. I know he's going to love it. I know the Seahawks are going to love it with them. I know there was talks about, you know, what position or how they're going to match up with him and JSN. Mm-hmm. There. And they still have money to make some moves, you know, maybe if they go get another wide receiver or something like that. But, you know, I think this team is going to be poised with him, with Cooper Kupp, and I think it's going to be nice to see. What do you think about the Diamondbacks and NFL free agency?
Okay, so the Diamondbacks do have a good team, but I'm going to tell you one thing that concerns me right now with the Diamondbacks. Blake Walston, he was the young guy. He's having Tommy John already, 23 years old. Okay, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing because we've seen people bounce back from Tommy John.
Yeah, it was a rite of passage.
Yeah, but I feel like this could be, I'm not going to say a major hit to their rotation, but I did expect him to take more steps this season. I was expecting him to be in that rotation. I felt like he could have had a very good season this year. For him to undergo Tommy John, and it's going to be like 14 months he's going to be out, we won't really get to see him till next year. But on the upside to that is, him being out a year, he'll be back. He should be back next year around this time, maybe close to, you know, at least getting close to amping up to start the season. We'll see how everything goes. You know, some people recover faster than other people. So, but all in all, the Diamondbacks do have a great team. Like, well, I ain't gonna say a great team. They have a good team. They should make a little noise. Now, my free agency signing that I like this year. Well, I'm not even gonna say that I like. It's kind of questionable over here in New Orleans, okay? Chase mm-hmm. Young. Chase Young ain't been Chase Young.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what New Orleans is thinking. Look here. Have we been eating too much gumbo?
At least. You know, hurricanes, hand grenades, like, yeah. Y'all been up and down there.
It's questionable to me because I don't know I understand what you're hoping for from Chase Young, but I don't know if you're going to get that from Chase Young. And I feel like New Orleans team is just kind of in rebuild mode. They're in purgatory in a way. I don't think that they're ready to say that we're in complete rebuild mode just yet. But in my eyes, they're in complete rebuild mode. It's nothing more, nothing less to it. Other people can say that they think different. I think that New Orleans is in rebuild mode right now. And Chase Young was a, hey, you gave him, I want to say, 3 years, $51 million. Are you expecting New Orleans to make a run? Are we going to sneak in the playoffs? I don't know about all that. So, yeah, that's kind of questionable to me.
Them niggas always in rebuild mode, though. That's the thing.
Since Drew Brees left, bro, it's been a revolving door, bro. It's a revolving door. And nobody can really figure it out. I feel like I can figure it out, but they'll never hire me. Now, the Giants. Second team. What you feel about them, Rob? I know you feel something. I know you feel something. Go ahead.
So, with the Giants, they're kind of an island of misfit toys still. Like, they have talent. They do. They really do have talent. They just signed Willy Adames, who I love as a shortstop. I think he's going to be great for them. Helio Ramos, I do like as well. I've been picking up in every fantasy team that I can. I think he's got a lot of power, even though that's not really a, you know, hitter's park out there. You know, they got that deep, you know, right center. But, like, they have, like, you know, they got Justin Verlander, who they're going to be trying out there, seeing basically whatever they could squeeze out of him. Logan Webb, who's basically been a mainstay for that team, just when it got Robbie Ray, or when it got Robbie Ray, or he got healthy, really. Jordan Hicks, who basically former Cardinal, but was up and down last year, started out hot, then cooled off. They have a team that I like. It's just they have a team that is, like, is this all going to pay out? Are you going to get Matt Chapman, who basically, you know, was a Platinum Glove winner like a long time ago? Are you going to get, is Jung Ho Lee going to basically come back and be the guy that started out hot as a rookie last year? Like, what are you going to get out of all these dudes? You know, like, that's going to be my biggest question. But I think that it's going to work out. Lamont Wade Jr., who looks the most like a Lamont Wade Jr. that I've ever seen in my entire life. Pull up a picture of Lamont Wade Jr. when you get a chance. Use your Googles. He looks like a Lamont Wade Jr. Like, I can't really put into words. I think I said it last year. Like, he just looks the most like a Lamont Wade Jr. And yeah.
And I'm going to get at it before we go to our free agency signs. Okay. Your misfit toys is right. You're right. I'm not going to lie to you. You're right.
Okay.
Holy. He started off hot. We all know rookies can come out there hot. We don't know full potential. You know, his first go around, we'll see how they pan out. Do I think he can be better? Yes. Now, here's my problem with the Giants, okay? It's more toys there that are worn now than have been brand new out the box.
Yes. I completely agree with you. Like, a lot of these guys are just like, okay, how much more can you get out of this? How much more can you get out of Mike Yastrzemski Jr. or Mike Yastrzemski? How much more can you get out of all these other guys? Like Wilmer Flores, who's basically going to be just more of a behind their guy. Sam Huff, who was basically a former top prospect for the Rangers. Like, what are you going to get out of him? Like, who knows? Like,
do y'all realize how old Justin Verlander is?
Boy.
People at home, do you realize how old Justin Verlander is right now? He is ancient.
I remember watching him as a middle schooler.
Okay.
Like, I was watching him as a middle schooler, dog. Is that boy's up there.
Look, I'm not going to say he needs to retire. Justin, you ain't got no shit you want to do at home. Like, you don't want to go home and play with the kids and live life.
But you love your home. Like, Happy Gilmore or some shit.
Yeah, like, bro, you 42 years old now, dog.
But the thing about Justin Verlander is that he's been pitching very well for, like, dude in his upper 40s. Like, he's a guy that is, or lower 40s, I guess. But, like, he's a guy that still is effective and been pitching well. And especially, like, with the way that he pitches, it's kind of like a modern marvel. He's had injuries. He's been Cy Young candidate or won Cy Young in recent years. He is a guy that is, like, you might as well see what you can get out of him, especially when you're not really expecting him to be like number one or number two in your rotation. Like, you're wanting him to basically supplement wherever and get whatever out of him. Kind of like with Scherzer and Scherzer and with the Blue Jays. Like, you just want to get whatever it is out of him. But it's like, God damn, my brother. Like,
home.
Like, you still on the road? Like, you like you still out here in the streets? In the streets, Justin Verlander? That's how you want to live? My brother, go home and be a family man. Like, where
That's
are
what
you?
I'm saying, though.
What are you doing?
But he looks happy in baseball, though. I'm not going to lie to you. He looks happy. He looks happy. So maybe that's his thing. Maybe that's his thing. But I thought my guy would have been home by now.
I would have thought. Yeah.
Now, free agency signings. Who do you like?
Will Fries, the former Indianapolis Colt that's going to be a part of your and my Minnesota Vikings. 5 years, $88 million. I do love the signing, even though he's had injury histories, along with Ryan Kelly, who we also signed to be our center. Guys that basically were noted to be great or really good offensive linemen. Something that we needed, especially on the interior. We should get Christian Darrisaw back and have, you know, Brian O'Neill back and everything. So that will fill out the outside. But, you know, like, we just needed that guard play and the center play to be much better. And I think we got it. And I'm very happy about getting Fries, especially because I'm a potato guy. I love fries. I really do. I want some fries right now, actually, because the boy's hungry. But yeah, like, now Will Fries getting signed on. Hopefully we get the top end of that deal where he is somebody that could be a perennial Pro Bowler for us or something like that.
I'm a potato guy too, Rob. But my free agency sign, well, my free agency, what the fuck is going to be Daniel Jones?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so Indianapolis, I just got to ask you something. Why are you bringing, you know, proverbial shit to compete against proverbial shit? Just why?
Why?
Well, Daniel Jones is probably a little bit worse than Anthony Richardson. But why are you trying to gift him the job without giving him the job? Are you telling him that, look, I'm going to bring somebody in here worse than you so you can go and win? Is that what you just told me? That's what you had to tell me. You had to say, I'm bringing a guy in here worse than you so you can win this. Are we trying to build self-confidence? Are you trying to tell that man that he needs a shrink? Is this what we trying to do?
Where young man, go be a family man.
Yeah, bro, because I don't understand this. And granted, we saw the meltdown of Daniel Jones in the Giants uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also say this really quick. I feel like nobody's ever going to be good in that Giants uniform because of how Eli Manning got there. And I'm going to call it the curse of Eli Manning.
Oh.
Because remember, if we all remember, Eli Manning manipulated his way out of being a Charger to go to New York. Okay? Now, me personally, I wouldn't have chosen New York. I'd have stayed my ass in California. That's just me. But anyway, they have not been successful.
Not at all.
And Daniel Jones had a slight spark and then never was anything after that. And for him to go to Indianapolis, it's like, I feel like you're trying to gift Anthony Richardson the job without giving him the job. Or maybe Daniel Jones might have a second coming. I don't know. But I am highly questionable about what the hell is going on with that move. Why? If you in the comment section can make that shit make sense to me, I'm with you.
Go ahead, write it down. Write it down right now.
Tell me why they did that. I wouldn't have signed his ass. I would have went and got Russell Wilson or somebody and said, look, Anthony Richardson, you got to beat this vet who can still start versus Joe Flacco. Beat him. And go get your job. That's what I would have told. Hell of out of here with that. Moving on down our NL West preview. The Padres.
That is defunct or divine? That's my question when it comes to them. Because the thing is with the Padres is, like, they are a team that have talent. They have a rotation when you got Yu Darvish, you got Michael King. You know, you got Dylan Cease still. Like, you have talent in that rotation. You still have hitting talent. You got Fernando Tatis Jr. You got, what's the old boy's name that was a rookie of the year? Oh, Jackson Merrill. Like, you got guys that are there. You did lose out on Luis Arraez. Like, or no, Luis Arraez is still there. Yeah, but, like, but, and you got his contract year coming up. But, like, are you basically going to put it all together and actually make a run here? Because we've been seeing this story. We've been seeing this Padres team be around. We saw them around in the playoffs last year. They basically lost. We saw them in, you know, playoffs in yesteryear. Eventually lose. Are they going to be able to get over the hump when it comes to these other teams? You know, you got Ranger Suarez basically going to be your closer. Not Ranger Suarez. Robert Suarez is going to be your closer. You have teams that basically, I mean, you have a team that can compete with any team. You got Xander Bogaerts. You got guys that are there on your team. Can you put it together? Can you bring it from the heavens? Go inside and get inside something bigger than yourself. Reach out in this chat. Reach out in this YouTube feed. And can you be something that is bigger than what you actually are? Because that's what you're going to have to be when it comes to at least one of the teams we're going to talk about coming up in the NL West. But the thing about it is, what are you going to do? Are you going to take the next step as far as your team go and be consistent? I know you're relying on Fernando Tatis Jr. to basically stay healthy. Understanding that. But the thing about it is, you do have money. You do have prospects. You do have something that basically you can come out and say, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is what we got. We got stuff to compete with all y'all. Let's see what let's actually do something here. Let's actually get over the hump.
Now, I'm going to pick up on your sermon and say this, Pastor Bird. Look, I feel like they can be divine, but they're going to have to spend the almighty dollar. Because there's a team over there that wear blue, and they got L.A. on their hat, and Magic Johnson is one of the people over there helping run that goddamn ship over there. And goddamn it, being in an owner group like that, the man with a name like Magic, you gotta know he gotta have the money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Padres, you gonna have to spend if you wanna win.
You gonna have to do what?
You gonna have to spend if you wanna win.
Say it one more time for me.
You gotta spend if you wanna win. And that is in the name of all MLB out there. You gotta spend if you wanna win.
And if you wanna win, spend if you wanna win. All that, dog. All
they
that.
Gotta make it happen, dog. You're not going to beat that team that we're gonna talk about here soon. You have to have the bankroll and the talent to compete. It comes down to not being stingy with your money. Like you said, they banking on Tatis to stay healthy. Okay? You still got Cronenwell there. You know, you still have people who are decent. Your rotation, decent. Darvish, King is still there. Cease is still there. You have enough talent to get this done. But you got to make it out of the first round. And you're going to have to spend that money if you want to win.
Yes, sir.
It is no other way. No other way. Now, with that being said, who is your free agency signing?
Carlton Davis, who is new for the Patriots, coming from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that this is going to be a really nice signing for them, especially when you got Christian Gonzalez, who is a really good corner on that other side, going against, you know, the AFC East and, like, everything that it has to entail with that, especially if they are going to go get Travis Hunter. If you basically are like, hey, we don't need Travis Hunter at corner, really, because we got these other two corners, we may be able to put him at wide receiver more times than not. But now you're a little bit more flexible than what you once were, you know, so I really like that signing. But who you got as far as, like, your free agent signing?
Bosa to the Bills. Joey Bosa to the Bills. Can this help them if he is healthy? Yes.
Yes.
Keyword, if he's healthy. If they're going to need him to be healthy, and he will help make an impact on defense. You're going to need a person like him come playoff time. But you need him to be healthy. Mm-hmm. If he's not available during playoff time, this signing isn't worth anything.
Not at all.
Availability is always the best. So mm-hmm. you have to be healthy. You have to be available. And if you're not healthy and available, in the end, this signing means nothing. But I do love this signing for the Bills. As long as he's healthy, this definitely bolsters their defense. This gives them a monster on the other end that you have to worry about. I'm not going to lie. Whenever he's healthy, he shreds offensive lines. He can shred an offensive line and get to the quarterback, put pressure. He can do what he needs to do. And then you still got to be healthy and go out there and play, though. Now, this next team in the NL West, me and Rob were just talking about this before we came on here. And it's the Colorado Rockies. Okay.
So I'll say this. Colorado Rockies, not yuck. That's the best thing I've been able to say about them in a good amount of years. Of course, they got guys. They still got the wandering soul of Chris Bryant, of what's was, you know, former MVP rookie of the year guy. Still, they just went and got Thiago Estrada, who basically I've been picking up for fantasy for a bunch of years. Ezekiel Tovar. They got Nolan Jones, who I like, but I guess is injury prone and has a lot of stuff going on with him. Brenton Doyle, who's another guy I picked up. They also got a guy named Zach Veen, which, look him up, had one of the best bat flips this spring training. Guy that's basically been a prospect for a long time for them, who probably is going to pay dividends for them. Seems like might be a little bit more than just on the field, but possibly off the field if he got a little personality to him. Mm-hmm. And, like, they also have another guy, Chase Dolander, who you guys might remember from the Tennessee Volunteers. He was on that team that had, like, a lot of great pitchers. He might be a guy that might be great in their rotation. Looks like he's going to be coming up this year. But their rotation stinks, I tell you. And Chase Dolander only had 23 starts in the minor leagues as well. So we'll see how good he actually is or how much they want to do with him. He only played at AA. I don't know if they're going to push him to AAA before bringing him up. I would think so, but we'll see. But no, this team, I think, is not yuck. They're going to be a team that's not going to be able to compete with all the other teams in this NL East. I mean, NL West. But the thing about it is like, they are not as bad as what they could be. They have talent when you have Tovar or Doyle. It's just that they ain't really that great. But that's because the rest of the division is really good at the very least.
What you're saying is right. And there's a name that you didn't name that I want to talk about. Ryan McMahon. Ryan McMahon has been a guy who's been, I'm going to say, below where I thought he would be. He's batted below 250 for like the last three seasons. He's been like a consistent about 20 home runs. I thought that his bat would be more consistent, a little closer to 300. And he's got to control them strikeouts, though. He's got to control them strikeouts. He's striking out damn near 200 times a year. That's like once a game, though. Well, over once a game. I need you to put the ball in play. If you're putting the ball in play, I can't be mad if they get you out. They make a good read on the ball. They make a good play. I'm cool with it. But he strikes out entirely too much. And to say that he plays like 100, he's played like 150 games consistently like the last four seasons. I thought that he'd be better than that by now. On MLB, I can swing bat like motherfucker with him. But that's me controlling him. But I thought that he would be more consistent, especially hitting there. That's a hitter's park where you play.
Very much.
I feel like if you're a Rocky, which you probably don't want to be a Rocky because of the mediocrity that they've been in.
Not really.
I feel like your bat should be good. Your bat should be extremely good at home. Yes. Air is thin. The ball should pop off. You should be out there working to be a very good bat. Even if you're not the best bat on the road, you need to be a great bat at home and try to win those home games for them. Because you know, whenever the other big bats step in the building from out of town, they're looking to put it over the wall. And that's where I feel like the Rockies are like, eh, that's why I've been campaigning for a dome for a long time. Climate control dome.
Yeah.
To make this competitive over there for them.
But it's like, and we were talking about this, I do love the majesty of Coors Field and everything like that, but yeah, you got to get something more climate controlled so that you're going to be able to compete
with these other teams and be able to like bring in pitching talent, because y'all haven't been able to. Y'all really haven't.
Everybody else in the NL West is way below where y'all play. They're way closer to regular ground elevation. Whenever they get to y'all, to the Mile High City, the air is a lot thinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'ma just say, campaign, if I was y'all, I'd campaign for a dome so you can get pitchers there that won't complain that every time they get a hold of a ball, it's a possibility of a home run out there. So, yeah, I just always have to throw that one in them. I have to throw it in them. Now, what's some free agency signings that you feel like were good?
So y'all gonna laugh, and I don't really give a fuck. But Justin Fields, I think that deal was very good. When you talk about 2 years, basically $30 million guaranteed, that's nothing. For a starting quarterback with arm talent, running talent, big as hell, matched with basically his college wide receiver and Garrett Wilson. I think that's going to really pay dividends. I was laughing about the deal at first, but I'm like, that's a really team-friendly deal that basically you could still go out and get talent. It might be an upgrade from what Aaron Rodgers was last year, because you will have somebody that is A, going to probably be with the team and actually care about being with the team more times than not, especially when it comes to training camp. You have somebody that basically is going to be working with a new coach and a new system, and somebody that's look like he's going to want some level of stability, young and everything. It's like, I think this is going to be a good chance for him to get some starts and actually get some good playing time going, because they're not going to get another quarterback, I don't think, to go behind him. So this is going to be Justin Fields' best chance that he's gotten since being in the league, I would say. And even if it is with the Jets, I do like the signing by them.
Yeah, that is a great signing by them. Now, mine is going to be Najee Harris. I think that he needed a change of scenery from Pittsburgh. It was time for him to go. It was time for him to find a greener pasture. Pittsburgh doesn't know what they want to do.
Nah.
They're up in arms right now. I personally believe if I'm a running back like him, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to run and be effective out here, I need to find somewhere else that I can make me some more money and possibly see how I'm going to get paid. And him going to the Chargers gives him another physical back. It gives Herbert somebody that he can hand the ball off. So I feel like they lacked a really physical back, like a big guy like him, a bruiser, that can go out there. Because, let's be real, the Chargers can spread the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with them being able to spread the field, if you got a physical guy like him and he has a chance to go one-on-one with a lineman, or he can hit the hole and get through, this works for him. It works very well for him. You just need Justin Herbert there and those guys to pan out, still be very effective whenever they spread the field. And you can hand the ball off to a guy like him, and he can make 3, 4, or 5 yards at a time, or maybe even break a big run and make this happen for you. So I like that signing by the Chargers.
Yep. I agree. I agree with that.
Now, what you've all been waiting for. The magical team who just won the World Series. We're talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, I'm going to let you go.
Ladies and gentlemen of America, it comes in this time where you have such an indomitable force, such an immovable object. Mm-hmm. That you have to basically come and look at it and marvel at what it is, marvel at how it's constructed. And you got to basically say, fuck them. And you know what? And I try not to basically be like that, because here's the thing. When it comes to this team and when it comes to how good that they are, they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of, like, they have the 6th best farm system while basically having 3 Hall of Famers at the top of their lineup, while having just one of the best, you know, rotations where you got international guys as Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Roki Sasaki, and Shohei Ohtani pitching again. And then you bringing in Blake Snell. You bringing in Tanner Scott. You bring back, you know, Blake Therian.
or you bring back all these guys, and then you basically bring back Teoscar Hernandez. You bring all these dudes in, and you're like, what am I supposed to do with this? You bring my boy Tommy Edman back, you sign him to a deal, which I'm glad he got his money. And it's like, what do you do with something like this? This is the most well-structured, well-built, well-everything for the future team. This is something that we ought to all just marvel and just look and clap. Because they're willing to make it happen. Mainly because they got $330 fucking million to basically play with every year with that big-ass TV deal. But it's still to the point of they know they're rich and they're acting like it. And I think that we all have an enemy that we can all put our hands up and spirit bomb. I know my DBZ watchers gonna really remember. We need to spirit bomb. And we need to basically put in our fingers, put that energy out and say, fuck Lay. Fuck Lay. Fuck LA. And then I think that's what we got to be. Basically, we have the energy to have. This is the evil empire, guys. The time is now to basically hate. Get all the hate that you have in this team. Get all the hate that you have in your body. Push it out to that team in blue and white. Push it out to that team that basically has everything. Push it out to basically say, fuck L.
Look, the way that you just said it kind of says the most, you know. Look, they are Dark Vader and the crew. They are the Galactic Empire.
Mm-hmm.
They are the crew that is hard to beat. They came through, and like I said earlier, you have to spin to win. And like you said, yeah, they're doing it. They make the money. They're going to be the superpower. This is Lex Luthor and the Legion of Doom. It's that simple. Look, that's the only way that a lot of people in baseball are going to be able to look at them, because they're going to say, well, look at all of the shit that they got. Yeah, it's true. I'm not gonna make them the superheroes, because it's not enough of y'all that's going to appreciate them as superheroes. So we're going to make them the villains. And by them being the villains, look, the difference between them and the Empire is this. They got damn, look, they ain't got no troopers. They ain't got no stormtroopers that don't hit shots. Everybody hit shots over there.
Guys, they have 6 top 100 prospects. 6. While having the highest payroll in all of baseball, while lapping the luxury tax over and over. They cheating.
They stormtroopers don't miss, Rob. Stormtroopers don't miss. Like I said, they have lefties like Glasnow. They have Kershaw. Then they have others. They have like Tanner Scott relief pitching.
Justin May coming back. Tony Gosselin coming back. They got, Tanner Scott. Trinane
is there.
Michael Kopech coming back. Rusnar Gretaral coming back. They Gwyneth signed Kirby Yates. They still got Tommy Edman. Freddie Freeman coming back, possibly healthy. Mookie Betts, the greatest utility man ever. They went and got Michael Conforto. Andy Paez. Like, all these motherfuckers. And then Shohei.
You know?
Knocking.
I look, pay to win at its finest, right here, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you do it, right? This is pay to win at its finest. And can I knock them? No, because they've done it. They've figured out the juice to their pay to win. Yankees, I don't know if y'all, look, y'all might want to take notes. Y'all might have faced them in the World Series, but they clearly won. You lost. I don't know what more that you want. And that's why Rob said these are the guys that everybody needs to hate right now. They are the team that you need to hate. If you're going to hate a team, hate the Dodgers. They figured out the sauce. They figured out how to restructure deals, move money. They've gotten the TV deals. They've lured the free agents. They had everybody produce whenever they needed to produce, and they won.
Yep.
What more do you want? that is one of the it wouldn't surprise me if they won back to back. If they won back to back, I'd be like, okay, that doesn't surprise me.
They're the favorites for me.
They are clearly the favorites. But free agents, who do you got?
All right, Talanoa Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw. Basically two former Niners going to the Broncos, basically going into Vance Joseph's defense. I think that that's going to be a killer for them, especially when you still got, reigning, defending, undisputed defensive player of the year and Patrick Surtain in the second. Like, you got a lot of great talent on that team, and then adding those two guys to it is going to be it's going to be scary hours for the AFC West. But who's yours? Who's your free agent?
Raheem Mostert. And the reason that I pick him is because him going to the Raiders shows me that the Raiders must be dedicated to really rebuilding. They picked up Geno. You got another running back now that had been pretty good. If he can be what he was at one point in Miami, the Raiders have something rolling. The Raiders just need more offensive talent now. Make sure that their line is good. They made sure Crosby was signed. He's there. It's going to be one of those things that I feel like the Raiders are gearing up to be way better than what they were last year. They've actually brought in a quarterback, somebody who can throw the ball, actually.
That's true.
And because, let's not sneeze, Geno had 4,000 yards last year he threw for.
Yeah.
That's damn good.
Yeah. And being paired with Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers, like, they go out to get another receiver, like it's, they sound like they are going to get a T-Mac out of Arizona.
Yep.
That could be really good.
And I feel like T-Mac is the way to go right now. I feel like if you go get T-Mac and he's developing out there with Myers and everybody, that, look, Brock Bowers, T-Mac, Jacoby Myers, maybe if you can steal somebody else in free agency, you might be looking at a 10 win Raiders team, 10, 11 win Raiders team. They could swing and turn this thing around and have a nice, solid, decent running game, a good passing game. They have a pretty damn good defense. They were out there competing, and they could be very, very, very effective this coming season. It's something that I really want to see. That's why I like this pick. Now, we're going to move over to the NL Central, okay? Okay, Rob, Pirates.
So here's the thing with the Pirates. It's like, we talked about the Spider-Man meme with them and the Mariners. It really couldn't be more apparent when it comes to this team. Like, granted, they got O'Neal Cruz that... Look up his highlights, y'all. I cannot really give you... If I say he's the hardest hitting person I've ever seen, it really doesn't get to the point... For my people that watch baseball, for my people that don't watch baseball, I saw this man hit a screamer to center field that hit off the wall, not hit to the ground and hit off the wall. A line hit off the wall. This man hits hard as fuck. If you don't know how impossible that shit is to basically hit the ball and it goes on a straight line to hit the wall, that's power. You can't hit it harder than that unless you're hitting it through a person. And he did have a screamer in spring training earlier. That man hits like a motherfucker. It's just that he doesn't have the consistency. They still got Key Brian Hayes, who they paid. Brian Anderson, Brian Reynolds, who they also paid. They also got some other guys that basically aren't great household names on offense, but they're guys that Tommy Pham, they brought him in. You know, like, I always have a love for Tommy Pham. Joey Bart, they're going to see whatever they could get out of the former number five prospect in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. Henry Davis is still on their roster, who was the number one overall prospect in baseball. Two guys that are playing catcher. I know Henry Davis plays, I think, in the outfield as well. But, yeah, it's going to be whatever they're going to get. But their rotation is great. Paul Skeens, who I don't know if he's going to face a sophomore slump. That's something I would say to be seen, because it's another guy that I'm talking about that's going to possibly face another sophomore slump coming up. But Paul Skeens, if he gets a slump, that's going to basically take down when it comes to this team. Mitch Keller's a really good starter. Jared Jones, another good starter. Bailey Falter, Andrew Heaney, all good guys. David Bednar, basically as their closer. The rest of their team is like, it's one of those things, like, they're going to have to rely on their pitching because their offense really isn't going to be there. But the thing is, Paul Skeens, who was a phenomenal guy last year, absolutely phenomenal. But is he going to basically regress now that basically people are going to see him for a full season? That's to be seen. But if he does not regress and he basically is the ace of this rotation, they have a fair chance to win. And the free agent guy that I have for them, who really is really more of a questionable, is Javon Kinlaw. Commanders went and got him. I think it was like 3 years, $30 million. He's been kind of questionable when it comes to that, but they've had pretty good offseason. But that was like one of the questionable moves that they had that they brought him in. But what you got for the Pirates, bro?
Okay, so I feel like the Pirates are going to be better than we think they may be. Like you said, they do have a very, very, very good rotation. Paul Skeens, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think that he's going to have a sophomore slump. I do think he might have a slight uptick in ERA because it might be more than a slight uptick.
I thought you meant like uptick is like him having a lower what? ERA. Oh, but you talk about him going higher. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Nah. Yeah, and for y'all that don't know, he had a 1.96 ERA, which is for a rookie that basically was playing in college like 2 years ago, is almost impossible. It's impossible. It's really impossible for him to come and be that hot that early. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say this: if he happens to, I'm expecting him to be at about a 2-sub, is what I'm expecting. Okay, yeah.
If he's gonna do something,
now he did give up 4 earned runs in a preseason game, you know, in preseason. But you know, that's preseason. We don't know
rolling out kinks. What's
coming. Yeah, 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 yeah. We're not gonna have the kinks right now. So, but it's gonna be interesting to see how they do against him. Granted, he played 23 games. Well, yeah, 23 starts. So let's see how he does. If he comes out there and he's 2 or lower, I'm gonna be like, hey, look, Zeus himself blessed him with the thunder in his arm. You just gotta deal with it at this point. Hey, deal with it. But do I think that he could be really good for him? Yes. Do I think that that they can definitely throw a wrench in people's plans? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Their pitching rotation is enough. They can keep the game low enough to where they can win the game. They just need run production. If they get run production, they can make this scary for y'all. And like we said, baseball is a long season. It's 9 innings and a lot of shit. We've seen the craziest happen in 7, 8, 9 innings down the stretch. People make comebacks, bats get hot, shit happens. Hey, and that's what I will say about them. They live in the land of, if we can keep this game close, we might have a chance to come back and actually make this happen. So the Pirates are one of those teams. I think we gotta kind of, you gotta look at them. You only really got one aging player in McCutcheon, 38, you know what I mean?
A homie.
Yeah, you only really got like one truly, hey, bro, you're getting kind of old. You don't want to go home and be with your family?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I look at him and brother. You don't want to go home, bro? You know, all right.
Go to your home.
Yeah, yeah, you know. But, hey, that's him. That's how he feels about that one. Kinlaw, you talked about Kinlaw. Is that going to be your free agency signing?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I got for that.
All right, so look. I'm going to say this, and this is where I begin to kind of talk bad about you goddamn Cowboy fans. So, Javonte Williams, I like and I don't like this, because this is another one of these one-year deals that they're passing out. They're not committing to anybody, and in any sport where you have money, and money can be a determining factor, you have to be willing to spend the money to win. Cowboys, y'all just lost Lawrence. Y'all haven't signed Michael Parsons, and then y'all out here giving 1 year running back deals. Okay. Are we not going to use our draft pick if Ashton Jensen is there to take him as a running back? Are we not going to do this? are y'all ever going to pick up another wide receiver for Dak to throw to? Or are we just going to act like he, you know, we're going to act like Turp and CD Lamb is enough? That's what we're going to do. So we're not going to even acknowledge that Mecole Hardman is still out there. Like, at least he's still out there.
Shit, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs is out there. Y'all don't want to acknowledge any of you. All right, if y'all don't want to acknowledge him, yeah. So this is a, hey, why did you pay him and you need a receiver and you haven't signed a receiver yet? I think he's going to have a good year in Dallas. But like I said, this is a what the fuck signing because we haven't taken care of the other shit that we need to take care of. Mm-hmm. Why are we signing him? You gave him $1 million. You gave him a 1-year deal. I think it's for a couple $1 million, maybe. That's it. Why aren't we spending our money in more resourceful places? Bro, I don't know. Jerry, get off the goddamn radio. You get off the radio, bro. I'm tired of hearing I'm committed to winning and you on the goddamn radio.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to take a step back from talking bad about them to they call him Big L.A.
Big Tilly. I call him upper mid. And so I think that when it comes to this team, when it comes to the Cincinnati Reds, the team that Ellie De La Cruz claims is his home right now, they just basically said Jonathan Ndiababa and brought in Gavin Lux. Good luck with that one. They still got Spencer Steer, Matt McClain, all those kind of guys that basically hidden in their lineup. Jameer Encarnacion. You know, they got some dudes, you know, that I basically look fuck with. Hunter Green, of course, I always fuck with, but they ain't really got a team that basically they got a strike fear in nobody. Like, they're going to basically possibly win, like, 70 games or something like that. But they ain't doing shit else, all right? So, Ellie De La Cruz, guy that I love, guy that I will say is one of the more must-see people in all of Major League Baseball. He's going to be something that everybody's going to see. The rest of that team, not so much. But it is cool. It is what it is.
I'm going to say it like this. Scott Hall did it best. Ooh. That's how I feel whenever I see Cincinnati Reds, though. I know Ellie's there, but outside of that, I'd be like, ooh, what you gonna do to me? Y'all are so mid that it's incredible how mid you are. You're not bad, but you're not good enough to be good. You're just
there. You're just there.
And there's gonna be somebody who disagrees with me, but I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
That's just what, yeah. Nah, for free agency signing, who you got, Ron?
Murphy Jr., somebody that we really need for your and my Minnesota Vikings to basically re-sign because, you know, Mekhi Blackman is going to be coming back from injury. We need somebody to be on the other side of him. We did go get Isaiah Rodgers as well. So our cornerback core, we still basically, you know, got, you know, in spades, and that's what I'm liking. And we went and got re-signed Harrison Smith back. So we still holding shit down for there. Our defense is going to be coming back with another year when it comes to, you know, all that. And so I really like that one. But who's yours?
Dynamite Brown. Mm-hmm. 1 year, $10 million to go over to Jacksonville. Jacksonville definitely needed a number two. Jacksonville, to me, this is another team where I don't know where they're going to go now. I feel like he's going to be the number two now. Some people say Gabe Davis is the number two. I don't know. I don't feel like he's the number two at all. I feel like Brian Thomas Jr. is the number one, and Dynamite will be the number two. Gabe will be the number three. Do I think that Jacksonville maybe can ever turn this around? I would hope so with all of the money that you put into your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think they will? Maybe. Maybe they might surprise us this year. But I look at them and I say 4-13. I guess the only way is up. You only won four games. If you go lower than four and got better, the gods are just against you at that point.
5-12, yeah. That's their destination.
Yeah. Like, you know, if y'all go up one game, I'm gonna be like, come on now. And plus it's the AFC South, though. Like, it's the Panthers, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Atlanta. you know, like, well, yeah, well, no, it's the, I'm thinking the NFC. It's the AFC South. It's Houston, Indianapolis, y'all in Tennessee. Tennessee's got to get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Houston has a good team. Indianapolis is in, like, what the fuck, land? Like, yep. They don't know what they want to do.
Very much.
So it's in the South in general, AFC and NFC. Neither one of them are doing anything. Houston, that's it. One team, Houston. Eight teams in the South. All y'all got to do is be one of the relevant ones. That's it. And it's not going to be hard to be relevant. If you can win 10 games, which is six more than what you won last year, if you can go 10-7, that's a great year for y'all.
It's a lot that's of people going 10-7.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. Look, you only need to win 10 games. Houston won 10 last year, I think.
I think they won more than 10.
They won 10 or 11 last year. Hold on, let me.
I got it. Yeah.
I think they went 10-7, huh?
Yeah, 10-7.
Bam. There you go. That's all you got to do to be relevant, Rob. 10-7. 10-7 makes you relevant. That's all you need, Jacksonville. Add 6 to what you do and subtract them from that loss column. You'll be all right. You'll be playoff bound, hopefully. Now, Rob, are the Cubs ready to roar?
I think they are. I think they got a good team. I think that they're the class of the NL Central. I think that they're going to basically be that best team. Shota Imanaga, Justin Steele basically anchoring that rotation. Mm-hmm. Parker Hodge, who's a pitcher that I like out of their bullpen. Ben Brown, who's an up-and-coming guy. Porter Hodge, excuse me. Who's a guy that's coming out of the bullpen. Looks like Ryan Press is going to be the closer. Good luck with that one. But I think that he's going to bounce back from what he was. But, yeah, no, they got a lineup. They got talent up and down. You know, Matt Shaw is possibly going to be coming up. They got a lot of prospects that are basically for this team. Like they got like six or seven top 100 prospects in baseball. Dansby, I think, is going to have a better year. Kyle Tucker, of course, contract year guy. P. Crow Armstrong coming back for another year. Seiya Suzuki. Like, they have the talent in order to win this division. It's just, can they overcome the biggest obstacle in baseball, which is being the Chicago Cubs? And do they have that? Can they do that? That would be the thing that they would have to overcome. Everything else should be fine. If they can overcome being the Chicago Cubs, they can win the Central and go far in the playoffs.
I want you to look at me when I say this.
Okay, I'm looking.
No.
There we go.
No. No.
Okay.
They're doomed to mediocrity because their name is the Cubs. I stand on this. Before they won their World Series, they were cursed by that guy who grabbed the ball from Moises Alou. In that car, Bartman, yeah. Can't remember his name. Don't ever want to remember his name. Matter of fact, if I was Cubs fan, I'd have whooped his ass.
Steven Bartman. That's why he's in hiding.
I would have whooped Steven Bartman's ass clean out of the stadium that day. Which, umpires, I'm going to tell y'all something. That was one of them days where I feel like they could have called that out. Okay? I'm pretty sure Moises Alou was going to catch that shit. I think he was. But you had the whole debate, like the whole debacle with that shit. Stephen Bartman would have got his out of whip.
I mean, they did win a World Series since then, but it's also the fact of you are the Cubs and you always find a way.
This is true. I just think that they're kind of doomed to mediocrity. I feel like they got the Bartman bear off their back, and then some new jinx is there now, and they just don't know what it is right now. It might be the mediocrity of the Cubs.
It's just the mediocrity of the Cubs. They find a way. That's really what it comes down to. Is just some teams are just destined for doom, and they are one of those teams. So, but they got the talent, like I said, like they have talent up and down their roster. They just got to basically overcome that obstacle of being the Cubs.
Compare them to people who perform acts in Vegas for money. That they do that are adult things. They have talent, but they're not on an MLB roster. You're on the MLB roster. Yeah. The name, the Cubs, says, hell you down. That's it. It is what it is at this point, dog. That's what it is. Now I look at them, I'd be like, they all are going to be the Cubs. Now, free agency signing, who do you like?
So another guy that y'all going to laugh at. So he was just on our team, yes. I don't understand where you guys are coming from with this, but y'all, I think Sam Darnold's going to be nice in Seattle. And I think when it comes to them getting Cooper Kupp, still having JSN, possibly bringing in some more talent on that team, I think he's going to be fine. It's not the same as Justin Jefferson. No, it's not the same as having Kevin O'Connell being your coach. No, they're going to have a nice enough team where basically he's going to be able to thrive and not be 14-3, but something that is pretty decent. And, you know, I would say un-Sam Darnold like, you know, and so I like Sam Darnold.
Okay. So from big physical backs to big physical receivers, Davante Adams to the Chargers. Okay, this, and while Rob does that, this is the Chargers' chance to have a big physical receiver that I feel like can help Justin Herbert a lot, okay? I'd be wanting to call him A-Bear because in the South, they would probably pronounce this shit A-Bear here in Louisiana, but Justin Herbert. I feel like Davante Adams being a big physical receiver should help Justin Herbert a lot. It gives him another option. It gives him a possession guy. It gives him
Wait. You said Justin Herbert?
Yeah, because he went to the
Rams.
Oh no, you went to the Rams. Oh, I'm sorry, people. I'm glad that Rob came back. He saved me. I give him that. Right. I don't know why I thought he. He did go to the Rams.
Man, everybody's looking to the red light. That is my thumb. Okay. Boom. All right.
All right. Reset them soon. He went to the Rams, and he has right now. He's gonna have
He's gonna have that Matt Stafford be on the other side of
big physical receiver. But like I said, big physical receiver. He's gonna give them another possession guy. Possession guys, to me, I feel like maybe I value two types of receivers too much. Possession guys and take the top off of defense guys. I value those two types of guys on my team so much that I would pay them the money, because big physical receivers who are possession guys can run 5-6 yards. I can chip away at a defense. That's why I like good tight ends so much. I like tight ends like Travis Kelce whenever he's on point, and guys like that. I like possession catch guys, because if I can't take the shot downfield, let me eat up some clock. Eat up yours. Think he would have helped them better last year than anything. Because it was a point where I was like, the Rams just need to get possession catches right now. And they weren't getting them. Will they get them? Hopefully they get them. Does this make this team better?
Debatable.
Yeah, that's going to be debatable.
It's like, I would say yes, just because Sean McVay just has the knack for basically doing the best with talent. Like, and Davante Adams, especially with talent and know-how, like, I think it's going to be better. He's going to be in a better spot, especially with Matthew Stafford basically coming back with them. Yeah, no, I think it's going to work out overall. I
feel like that team could have been next level if Kupp would have stayed there.
Yeah, but having both of them, I mean, they didn't need Kupp. Like, overall, go ahead.
They still have Tutu Atwell is there. Iron Williams is there. He can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Mm.
So, okay, that works. That works. Yeah. Tyler Higbee is there, tight end. Okay, that works. Yeah. I can see that. That one definitely works. Now, the Brewers. And I'm going to let Rob get into this, and then I'm going to explain to you people at home. You know what? I'm going to explain all of it. But I'm going to let him get into what he wants to say about the Brewers first. Go ahead, Ron.
Guys, y'all know how I feel about the Brewers. And if you don't know, fuck the Brewers. That's it in the encapsulation of it. But the thing about the Brewers is Jackson Turiaux, he set for a sophomore slump. He lit the world on fire last year, had a very good rookie season. But he's a guy that basically, you know, now people are going to get used to him, everything like that. All the shit you heard. Christian Yelich, guy that basically former MVP, just can't rely on him because he can't stay healthy. They did bring in Nestor Cortez. They got Freddie Peralta, who I've always liked, but has always been high strikeout, high ERA guy. They got Aaron Civale. Abner Uribe is going to come back, and hopefully he basically becomes the guy that he has the potential of being. But this is a team that, are they going to be drunk off this? Also, they got Wilson Contreras. You know, it's like, is this team going to be set for a playoff, you know, victory? Is this team going to be set up for a playoff standing? Is this team going to be set for the playoffs altogether? They are not set for shit. They're going to basically be watching at home just like me and you. Because the thing about it is, the Brewers ain't really got it to keep it going on. When it comes to the Cubs, when it comes to all the other teams in the NL, like, they ain't really got it. So I ain't worried about them. You ain't got to worry about them. So you know what, Brewers? Stick to mediocrity. Enjoy the project. Enjoy the projects. We'll get y'all. Okay.
So why he is so disappointed in you guys?
I ain't disappointed. They can kiss my ass.
Well, while he's on the fuck you train of y'all,
there we go.
I'm going to say that you guys will be playoff bound again. Now, I'm going to leave it at that, because I'm going to explain right after we finish and we give our playoff predictions why I feel like that, and I have a great reason and can point to evidence about this. So we're going to talk about free agency signs in the NFL. Who's your free agency sign?
So mine is actually a team that we did just talk about, whether accidentally or not, but the Chargers. With Mekhi Becton going to them, going away from the Eagles, now he got his ring. Now he's going to the Chargers, where he's going to be part of another huge line that basically they'll have with Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt. And like those kind of guys, like just the biggest motherfuckers you ever basically seen. And so he's going to basically do well with that team, especially in Harbaugh's offense. You know, they got Ladd McConkey, got Justin Herbert. You know, they're going to be good next year. But yeah, he solidifies that guard position for them. And I really like that sign.
Okay. So mine is going to be Mac Jones to the 49ers. And I'm going to explain why. I want to know what the 49ers' train of thought is with picking up Mac Jones. Do you think that Mac Jones has something in the tank that can be shown and then move to be profitable? And the reason that I ask that is this. Let's be real, San Francisco. Y'all are holding the money trying not to pay Brock Purdy right now. Let's just be real. Let's call a spade a spade. This is what y'all are doing. Y'all holding on to the money. Y'all trying not to give this shit up. So, with that being said, how long are we going to hold on to the money? Okay. How long is this going to be a waiting game? Okay. Debo's gone now. Okay. You still got Ayuk. You still got Christian McCaffrey.
How about you? Or I think Ayuk. Didn't Ayuk
leave? No. Ayuk is still there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ayuk is still there. They still got Ayuk. Juwan Jennings is still there. Ricky Parasol is still there. Kittle is still there. What are we doing? Is this, because whenever I saw Mac Jones for, I think he got $7.5 million or something like that for 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, he's making more money already than he is making, and he's making it in the 2 years.
That is true.
So what are we doing? Because to me, this screams, I don't want to pay him, or I want to pay him and trade him somewhere and try to get something else back. That's the only thing that keeps going through my mind about that move, because they have rolled the line on being cheap as hell in this quarterback situation, okay? Now, I'm going to throw this out there to some of you people at home. Wouldn't you have signed Brock Purdy by now? Yes. Wouldn't you have given him an extension? Wouldn't you have said, I got my 25-year-old quarterback of the future. Let me hold on to his ass. They have not.
They have not.
That's what I'm saying, Rob. Something is fishy about this.
It does beg the question, are the 49ers looking to trade Brock Purdy? Because the thing about it is, Mac Jones was the dude that they were looking to draft instead of Trey Lance. And like, what was it, Trey Lance in the draft? Either way, they were looking to draft Brock Mac Jones, but they had traded up, and basically everybody was like, oh, that's a shitty move. And then, you know, the Patriots ended up getting them. But now they got them, now, you know, a bit ran through. But like, are you basically looking to trade? Because, I mean, if say you are the Browns, let's say that you are the Giants. Do you go take a flyer and say, like, hey, we can trade for an established quarterback who did play at least pretty well, or like he played good, you know, and was a really good quarterback? Or do we basically go in the draft, you know, and kind of ferret there? Because, I mean, it's not a bad move to basically go is try to get an established quarterback. And if the 49ers aren't looking to pay Brock Purdy, I think that that is a good commodity to do, to have. So why not go do it? Maybe not trade the, you know, whatever pick, the first round pick that they got this year or something, but maybe next year, like either a first or like second or something like that. See what the 49ers are looking to basically give up for Brock Purdy. But it does seem like, especially with them shedding a lot of talent, they're either trying to basically get a number that Brock Purdy's going to like, or they're basically like, we're going to be basically rebuilding. And we have the talent when it comes to scheming around and getting anybody good, especially when we take Mr. Irrelevant and basically make him the one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So why don't we just do it again? Why don't we trade Brock Purdy? I think it's a fair question to ask.
I want you to think about this. I'm going to encapsulate the 49ers in this. They have one of the biggest, most physical specimens of a person in Trent Williams in year 15, who's still playing like he's young. The man is 6'5", 320 pounds. And I didn't see him dunk a basketball. Okay? He's bigger than Zion and can dunk a ball. Okay? That line, established. Their running game, established. You got an all-purpose back, established. You have receivers, established. You have a tight end. What's the one thing not holding him now? A quarterback contract. I bring in a guy who's been living in mediocrity because now they've kicked him out. I give him $7.5 million. Can he do the same job? He maybe can. If what would it mean to them if they could take him, and this is just a wild one. I'm going to throw this one out here. I know some people are going to say that should have never happened, but I'm going to throw this out there. Right now, your top three picks are Tennessee, Cleveland, and New York, right? What if you threw Brock Purdy to New York? Because they have Slayton. They have some receivers there, okay?
They're Malik Neighbors, yeah.
Yeah, they have Malik Neighbors. Slayton is an okay receiver. You have people there. What if you were able to pull this move off? Hey, I got a dude that's 25. How about I give you him and something else, and you give me your pick, and then I pull the ultimate Uno card. I go and draft Sanders at number 3 to play in San Francisco, and let Mac Jones do whatever he might do, or I have Mac Jones as a backup for if Sanders goes bad, but I literally drop a hot arm talented quarterback into a system already. Because remember, Rob, even if you draft him number 1, he's capped at what, 20 million?
Something like that.
He's capped at like 20 million for 4 years. Well, guess what? In 4 years, I should lose some of the money. Trent Williams can't play forever. He can't. All the time is undefeated. We know this. Trent Williams would be 40 if he played another 4 years. Okay? Purcell is young. He would only be 28. Juwan Dennis would only be 31. You're looking at Ayuk would only be 30. That's all prime age guys. That means I could have a young quarterback come in, rookie, pay him 20 mil, 4 years, because rookie contracts are capped in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Bring him in, give him all of this talent, and see if I can't go win.
Yeah.
I know it sounds far-fetched, but could it be the next level of thinking? I can give them this guy. We saw it happen. Perfect example, Rob, and I'm going to say this before we move on. You remember the Matt Castle shit?
A little bit.
You remember how Bill Belichick basically finagled the hell about that was the Chiefs? I want to say he finagled the hell about the Chiefs with Matt Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Look how good he is for us. 11 wins. That bastard never won more than 8 games. is happening. It was the ultimate. Ah, you thought you had diamonds and you had diamondites. The fake shit.
Cuban zirconia.
Yeah, I gave you a bunch of Cuban zirconia. You thought that was diamonds over there. Could they really make off and do something like that? A number three. So I'm gonna ask you, would you take him right now? Purdy.
For if I'm the Giants? Vikings. No.
For your Vikings. Well, so hold on. Let's say this. Let's say you didn't have McCaffrey. I mean, not McCaffrey, McCarthy sitting on the bench. Let's say he wasn't there. And you were in the type of situation at the Giants. Would you take a Purdy as quarterback?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
We've seen strange. We've already watched this shit be weird in the first couple weeks. It can get weirder as time goes on.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say this shit can get more weird as time goes on. The last team that we're going to talk about, the Cardinals.
How much time do y'all have? Like, you see the shirt. You see it? Boom. Right there. I have a lot of things to say about this team. And Cardinals fans, I know y'all feel the type of way about everything that has gone. Kane Bloom, basically about to take over the team from Mo, which is basically going to usher in a new era, because I remember in Mo We Trust, you know, when he was going out and getting all these signings, I remember a lot of different things where, you know, we had a lot of talent coming up and down with this team. And now where we are, we're in a team where everybody's going to say that we're rebuilding. We are not rebuilding. We are refurbishing. You know, when it comes to this team, and I know y'all people that basically say, oh, y'all Cardinals haters. Oh, no, y'all rebuilding, da, da, da. We already have the talent. So the thing is, we got Mason Wynn, who's basically going to be one of the best shortstops in all of baseball. We have, you know, Jordan Walker, who basically was the number one prospect in all of baseball not too long ago. We got Victor Scott, who might be one of the fastest players in all of baseball. We got Ryan Helsley right now, you know, who we might trade basically in mid-season because he's going to be hot. We might not be. We got Sonny Gray still, who still wants to be there. We got Nolan Arenado, who still wants to be there. We got Wilson Contreras, who still wants to be there. We have talent up and down this roster. Now, what we all these also have is Quinn Matthews, who basically is the one of the up-and-coming prospects, who lefty, you know, basically is in our minor leagues, who is one of the top 100 prospects. We got J.J. Weatherholt, who also is a number one prospect, number 19 to be exact. When it comes to this team, we got talent. We have people. We have the players. We are watching something great. We're going to see Nolan Gorman basically have a resurgence like he did. You know, he just had a little slump last year, but he going to bounce back because that's the dude. That's the homie. That's the guy that basically is going to have a lot of power that's coming in from the second base position. Still got Brandon Donovan, who basically is one of the best utility men and won, you know, a utility gold glove. You know, like, he is one of the guys that we're going to have. We have talent. I don't have any fear of reservation when it comes to this team. We got Lars Newbar. We have dudes. Okay. We just picked up Phil Maton, which means something to somebody. Chris Roycroft, who is one of the tallest people in all of baseball. I can go on and on and on and on and on about this team. And you want to hear it. Want to know why? Because this is talking about Cardinals Nation. This is talking about one of the best franchises in all of sports, not just baseball. And so, you know what? This is my team, and this is the team that I have hope in, and this is a team I'm going to enjoy watching throughout the season, because I'm going to see Mason Wynn basically be one of the best players in baseball. I'm going to see Jordan Walker in his resurgence. I'm going to see Ryan Helsley close out these games, because they're all going to be close. I'm going to see Sonny Gray basically being the ace of this staff. I'm going to see Wilson Contreras be the first baseman of this staff, basically. I'm going to see the up-and-coming of Ivan Herrera basically being the catcher of this team. I'ma see, hopefully, Ali Marmo get fired this year. I'ma see this team basically get, you know, coming to where we can basically grow and be better and possibly get more pitching, because that's the one thing we haven't been able to develop. But we got multiple pitchers that are basically going to be coming up when it comes to this team. Tickle Roby, Michael McGreevy. We got people. And so, you know what? I'm good with it. I'm gonna love watching this team, and so are you. So are you. You right there. You, even if you're wearing a shirt just like this beautiful one right here, you know, you're going to love watching this team too. Okay. So just know that. Know that. Live it. Love it. Because you ain't going to get enough of it. Just come on, ride this train and ride it. Ooh, I rest my case.
You know, appreciate my co-host. You know, I appreciate his enthusiasm about the car. But who is that calling? It's the MLB playoffs. And do you know what they said? The Cardinals ain't getting in because they're nothing. They're not going to make it. And I'm going to explain to you guys why in a second here. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just know that they're not going to win. And they can thank this person right here. So first, we're going to get into these free agents. And then I will have my rant to end all rants right now. Who's your free agent pick, Rob?
Patrick Jones, a name that you guys are going to be like, who the hell is Patrick Jones? But a guy that basically the Vikings drafted not too long ago. He played well last year, but basically, you know, with Dallas Turner being what he is and him, you know, having to get more time in the lineup, basically got pushed out. Signed with the Panthers, I think it's going to be a great deal. Patrick Jones is a really good pass rusher coming out of Pittsburgh, but yeah. I think that was a really good signing and a signing that a lot of people, you know, are going to see like, no, he is basically good in this defense for the Panthers and he's going to pay dividends for them. So good to see you go, Patrick Jones. Glad you got your money. But who's your free agency guy?
Jacoby Brissett backing up Kyler Murray. He's been injured a little bit. This is a solid backup. Trey McBride and everybody. And hopefully, Marvin Harrison Jr. takes a step in the right direction. Now, I'm throwing all that shit out the window. Okay? Look, because this is how we're going to end the show right now. This is our MLB playoff prediction early in the season, and I got to get to this right now. I got to get to this. So, Rob, I'm going to let you name your six NL picks, and then I'm going to name mine, and I'm going to explain to the people at home why your Cardinals ain't shit. And why they ain't making it in because of you.
All right, bet. And so here's the thing. I'm going to name my six teams. And y'all gonna might be surprised of the six teams I'm going to name. Mm-hmm. So number one is the Dodgers because, of course. Mm-hmm. Number two is the Mets because they're a really good team. They're really solid. And I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to win the East. The Cubs, I think that they're going to basically win the Central. I got them winning the Central. So number four is the Phillies. Because they've still got a solid team, got a lot of talent up and down that roster. Padres, same thing. And the Braves, going to have some guys coming back soon, but they also got some guys that can hold it down when it comes to Ronaldo Lopez, Chris Sale, Michael Harris II, Austin Riley, and so on and so forth. But that's my NL. Who's your NL?
Ye of little faith of the Cardinals, right?
Okay. I said we refurbishing, God damn it.
Okay. So look, NL picks, guys. Dodgers, Braves, Mets, Phillies, Brewers, Padres. And I'm going to explain to you guys why the Brewers are going to be there. Okay,
pray tell.
This person right across from this dude, he has what my mother likes to call, he speaks in the tongue of disappointment and people come through with adversity, okay? This man, time last year said that Chris Sale wasn't going to be shit. And Chris Sale won 18 games in a Cy Young Award.
He sure did.
And this man said he was nothing, okay?
Yeah, I sure did.
You just all listened to him say that the Brewers were going to have a sophomore slump, and he tried to tell you every reason why. And I told you, no. The Brewers aren't drunk. They didn't drink enough beer. They want a playoff party, okay? And they're going to playoff party because of Rob. Rob has given you guys every person that he believed wasn't going to be productive on the Brewers. And watch, somebody is going to be productive, whether it's going to be Yelich having a resurgence or anybody. And they're going to do it in spite of him.
Where are they?
He does this all the time.
Do I?
Yes, you do. You speak ill of on a team or a person, and they wind up winning. The only team that you have spoke ill on, they never figured the shit out of Dallas. And that's because they're another lost hope on another realm, okay?
Yeah, can't beat that.
That is on another plane of existence. This time last year, what did he say? Chrisell ain't got it. He's a shell of himself. He can't do it. And he said it won't work. He won't win anything. 18-3. Cy Young Award. That Chrisell. He said wasn't going to do nothing, okay? I think the Brewers are going to make it in to spite him. To spite him. And it is probably going to happen. I think the Brewers have enough to get into the playoffs. Not saying that they're going to win, but I think that they can make this and be playoff bound. What you got to say, Rob?
Those cheese and beer head motherfuckers got to prove me wrong, and I don't think they will. So they can slide down that motherfucking slide in that stadium and everything like that. But the motherfucking Miller Park still going to be fucking drunk. And then you know what? They're going to be sitting at home watching the motherfucking playoffs with me. So you know what? That don't care. They lose because they are losers.
See? You see what he's doing? He's giving y'all the motivation to beat them to go in here. Now, L, who you got?
All right, AL, I got the Orioles, the Guardians, the Rangers, the Tigers, the Yankees, and the Red Sox.
I see somebody has my team. I also have Cleveland. I have the Royals, the Red Sox. I think the Yankees are going to figure out how to pull this together. The Rangers and the Orioles.
So, see, here's the thing that I'm thinking right now, because you're talking about me. There's a team that is on here that I'm thinking that, like, they're going to probably show their ass and basically say they're going to prove us wrong. And that's those Astros. I think that team basically, because we've counted them out, and I feel like it's rightfully so. But that team, I think, is going to basically make the playoffs despite us. And I think that's going to be the team that basically is going to be like, what the fuck they said about me? Oh, Fernando Valdez, go ahead, show out. Yordan Alvarez, go ahead, show out. All these dudes basically going to basically come at us like this.
I'm going to show you, and I'm going to tell you why you may be right with it. We talked about this with the Rangers. Matter of fact, whenever we previewed the Rangers have all of the offensive power in the world. They just can't pitch. They have to make it in there off of offense and hope that their pitching is held together with bubblegum and tape and that they make this happen. Because like we said, it's going to be a lot of boat races, we think, with them this year. Our one team that I'm concerned about, and we both picked them, the goddamn Orioles. Okay? We're banking on them showing us what they did last year, okay? But we all knew the Orioles could come out here and disappoint us. Okay? I looked at it, and just like you said, the Astros.
Yeah.
I said, this could be another one of them showdown in Texas type years, you know?
Yeah.
This could be another one of those. But do I think the Astros could do it? They lost Bregman. And I was like, we got Bregman. And I was like, I think that we're going to be good. We won 82 games last year. We should improve and make the playoffs. Okay, cool. But then I looked at the Astros again. I was like, make me feel like y'all should win this. And I don't have a reason to pick them. But I do have reason to be concerned about the Orioles. I just do. Even though they're young, they got a lot of talent. They have like one good pitcher. And the same shit that we saying about the Rangers, they're not as bad as that. But whenever we look at the Orioles, don't it look so good to say that they got all of that young talent over there in their 20s and shit, and we think that they could do this again? See, that's the enticing part.
Yeah.
That's why we want to pick them, because what they did last year, and we see everything that they have.
Then they have prospects. They got everything. It's like they do have hitting talent. They have some pitching talent, and it's just like they can make this thing shake. And that's the thing about it.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the one team that we're kind of shaky on. I know the Yankees is one. I feel like the Yankees are going to pull it together. They may not win as many as they won last year, but yeah. I think that they're going to pull it together and win. But whenever you look at the Orioles roster and you're like, okay, look at all they got. You got the switch hitting catcher. It's crazy. Allie Rush. Gunnar Henderson. You got Mountcastle's there. O'Hearn is there. Ramon is still there. Westberg is still there. Olden Causer is there. Kerstead is there. Collins is there. So you're like, they got all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Got all of this. They could do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, whenever you look at the rotation, you're like,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all got Zac Efron. Probably more than this.
Yeah.
Who are we going to lean on? Sir Anthony Dominguez is one of our closers. You got Batista. He's a closer. Now you do have Grayson Rodriguez who's starting. That's probably going to be your best starter.
Mm-hmm.
Who else are we going to? Tyler Wells? Come on now. It's a lot of deficiency in the bullpen. But when we look across, we see all of the green shit over there, all of them outfielders, and shortstops, and the switch hitting catch. We looking over there and we say, it's a lot of good shit over there. It's a lot of good shit over there. And that's what makes us pick them.
Yep.
Makes us pick them, though.
Yep.
I don't know, though. What you think?
No, man. I think we're on the same page. I think that it's going to be interesting to see like how this all shakes up.
It will be. It will be because whenever this all is going to be said and done, the one team that we're picking, and granted, we differ where you got the Tigers. I don't know how the Tigers going. I don't know. The Tigers scare me. I feel like they've given Detroit a lot of hoop.
I think it's rightfully so. I mean, they've played better, and I think they're gonna be a team that's gonna be something to be dealt with. I say that.
I don't know. I just don't know. I feel like if a team is gonna drop out, it might be them and the Orioles. Those would be my two. But I have faith in my Red Sox.
No, you do.
I have faith that we shall rise again. I ain't saying we win in the World Series, but we should be back to relevancy around here.
Yeah.
I feel like we should be, and I'm going to just throw this out there. That same dude that you picked against, 6 innings, 9 strikeouts the other day against the Braves. We lost 6 innings, 9 strikeouts.
It's all good. It's all good.
You picked against him, Rob, and he said, hey, I'm going to show you.
Just keep proving you wrong.
Yeah, because Presta lost us that game the other day. I don't know what the hell went wrong with his ass. Just they'll leave 6 innings. It was fucking 2-2, and then all of a sudden the shit just gets out of hand. Like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. But, hey. But, thank you guys for being here with us, Bruh Migos Podcast, with another episode. We'll probably head this up by tonight, tomorrow. Well, tonight. Monday.
Y'all gonna see it when y'all see it.
Yeah, y'all gonna see this, you know. Y'all gonna see this. But don't forget, like, subscribe, tell your people about us. And we're going to go ahead and get up out of here. What you gotta say, Rob?
Alright, good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Carlos, we shall overcome these hating motherfuckers. So don't fret. We will be there. We will be around. Maybe not this year, other years, but they don't matter because we are what we are and we have the team that we have, and you know what we have is history, and we've been doing the damn thing for a very long time. So any motherfucker that want to basically say and nay say and Nate say all they want to, and it's fine, because you know what we gonna do? We gonna win, because that's what we do. 12 and whenever. It's gonna happen, though.
Now we're gonna go ahead and get about them goddamn Redbirds. Peace.
Deuces.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bruh Migos Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.